This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope.
Today's Daylight Magazine has segments designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 14, verses 15 to 24.
During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying,
Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand.
Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram,
Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself.
But Abram said to the king of Sodom,
With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, and them have their share.
You just listened to the audio version
of Genesis chapter 14, verses 15 to 24.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of hope.
A thief a fornicator, an idolater, a murderer, liar, envious, arrogant, selfish, unforgiving, bitter, disobedient to God's commandments. Are you guilty of any of these sins and many more? Then you deserve to die forever. But wait a minute. Someone has been sacrificed for you. He is Jesus Christ. So there's no need to die anymore. Hallelujah. All you need to do is to confess Him as your personal Savior. Get baptized by immersion into a true Bible-believing church. And daily, pray for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He will help you overcome your bad habits. And by the time Christ returns to give you the promised city and eternal life of joy, your character would have been refined. God bless you richly as you accept Jesus Christ into your life today. Amen.
Now, today on Healthy You, we're going to talk about cataracts. Mr. Hammond, you're welcome to the program.
Yeah.
Mr. Hammond is here to make us understand cataract, the symptoms of a cataract, the treatments, and how to prevent a cataract. A cataract is the clouding of the normally clear lens of the eye. For people who have cataracts, vision is a bit like looking through a frosty or fogged up window. Clouded vision caused by cataracts can make it difficult to read, drive a car, or even see the face of the person to whom you're talking to. Mr. Hammer, can you make us understand what cataracts is?
Okay. Most cataracts develop slowly, so they don't cause problems with vision early on. And as they worsen, however, vision becomes more and more disturbed.
So what vision problems do cataracts cause other than the clouded vision?
Okay, other problems include increasing difficulty with seeing at night, then seeing halos around light, sensitivity to light, then sensitivity to glare and double vision in a single eye. You see, the lens is positioned behind the color part of your eye, and it focuses light that comes into your eye, producing clear, sharp images into the membrane of nerves at the back of the eyeball that acts like the film of a camera. So, a cataract scatters the light as it passes through the lens, preventing a sharply focused image from reaching the back of the eye. As a result, the vision becomes blurred as we age. The lenses in our eyes normally become less flexible, less transparent, and thicker, and the tissue of the lens begins to break down and clump together.
Okay, so what are the risk factors for developing cataracts?
Okay, aside from aging, risk factors that increase the likelihood of your developing cataract include prior eye injuries, prior eye surgery, diabetes, drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, excessive exposure to direct sunlight or radiation, high blood pressure, obesity, smoking, and the taking of steroids.
Okay, so how will my doctor diagnose cataracts if I should go see one?
Well, he will ask you to read an eye chart. This measures how well you can read a series of letters. You will also use a light to directly examine how clear or cloudy your lens is. He will then dilate your eye to open the pupil wide to inspect the back of your eye. Yeah.
Describe the treatments of cataracts for me and our listener.
treatment of cataract is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
With early cataract, stronger lighting and wearing eyeglasses will help you see better. But as the cladding becomes more severe, the only way to return to normal vision is to undergo a cataract surgery. Some lifestyle changes can help you deal with the symptoms of cataract until surgery is required. Make sure your eyeglasses are the most accurate prescription possible. Improve the lighting in your home with the brighter lamps. Use a magnifying glass to read. Also, when you go outside during the day, wear sunglasses or a broad-brimmed hat to reduce glare and limit your nighttime driving.
Okay. So, what happens during cataract surgery?
You see, your doctor will numb the area around your eye and you will stay awake during the procedure. He will remove the clouded lens and replace it with a lens made of plastic. This replacement lens sits in the same place as your natural lens did, and it becomes part of your eye. If you live in an area where plastic replacement lenses are not available,
mm-hmm.
your doctor will simply remove the clouded lens and then correct your vision with eyeglasses or contact lenses. Then, cataract surgery is generally safe, but it carries a risk of infection and bleeding. It is usually done one eye at a time, with a few weeks between surgeries.
Is there any way that I can prevent getting cataracts?
Well, you may be able to delay or reduce your risk of developing cataracts by having a regular eye exams. Eye exams can detect cataracts at their earlier stages, and taking precautions early on can slow their development. If you smoke, quit. That is the word, quit. People who smoke more than 15 cigarettes a day are 3 times more likely to develop cataracts than are non-smokers. It is well known that radiation from sunlight and radiation from cancer treatment speeds the development of cataracts. So wear sunglasses when you go outdoors into direct sunlight. And if you have health problems such as diabetes, high blood pressure, or obesity, managing these conditions will help slow the development of cataracts. One of the most important choices you can make to prevent the development of cataracts is to eat a diet that includes plenty of fruit and vegetables.
Okay. But how can a diet, me eating these vegetables and fruits that you're talking about, prevent me from getting cataracts?
Scientific evidence is mounting that a diet rich in colorful fruit and vegetables is helpful in preventing the formation of cataracts by providing the vitamins and antioxidants that guard against damage to your eye lens. A recent scientific study in Europe looked at the association between diet and cataracts in a population with a wide range of diet. It found that vegetarians were at lower risk of cataracts than were meat eaters. A more recent study showed that eating foods rich in a variety of vitamins and minerals, such as you find in fruits and vegetables, postponed the development of most common forms of cataracts. It's also been shown for the first time that a relationship exists between cataracts and plasma levels of red, yellow, and orange plant pigment called carotenoids. People with low levels of carotenoids have 5 times the incidence of cataract formation compared to normal people. Carotenoids are found in dark green leafy vegetables as well as an orange and red fruit and vegetables such as tomatoes, peaches, squash, and carrot. Remembering which fruit or vegetable contains which vitamin isn't important. Just remember that adding a variety of colorful fruit and vegetables to your diet ensures you are eating a diet that is healthy for your eyes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hammond. 2 things I learned from this is to eat well and to stop smoking.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hammond. The program has been Healthy You. Cataracts is written by Dr. Richard Yackel, a doctor working in the United States. The medical views expressed in this program are his and may differ for your particular health needs. If you need medical advice, please talk to your doctor. My name is Sharon Mensah-Duku, and with me was Mr. Hammond. Keep listening.
For any inquiries or contribution, you can contact us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-23-5555. 5017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope. Voice of Hope. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well.
Oh, the way my Savior leads me, choosing each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, gives me a wheel. Steps may falter, and my soul a thirst may be, gushing from the rock before.
Dear listener, you are welcome to the Moment of Truth. Today we bring you a continuation of the sermon, New Birth Experience, by Pastor Dr. Andrews L. Ewu.
How can I regain my spiritual birth? How can I be what I used to be? How can I be a strong Christian one more time? Because once upon a time I was a very strong Christian, a prayerful Christian. Now things are not going well. Last week we examined what it means to be a spiritual bankrupt Christian. And now we are going to know how we can regain our spirituality, how we can reclaim our lost virtues of Christian principles. And so this will be the second part of what we started. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege I have to speak to my friends. Anoint my lips. Help me to speak nothing but the truth. For we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. So help me to articulate what is truth to my listening friends. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. My dear friend, I love you so much. I want to see you in the kingdom of God. Listen, I have news for you. Your friend, Jesus, is coming soon. He came the first time, he is coming the second time. And the only way we can meet him when he comes unto salvation is what we are talking about here. Last week we ended on internal evidences, things that show that the Spirit of God is in you. And I'm continuing. Now you have the external evidence. The internal evidence is something that you experience. The joy in you, the motivation in you, the happiness in you, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, the enthusiasm. You alone experience it. Nobody can understand. You have peace even in the face of trials. Now, there are things that come out for others to see that indeed you are a different person. It is the external evidence. The seed in you, which is the Holy Spirit, begins to grow and bear fruit. There is an observable fruit of the Spirit in your life. People see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. They see it. They can tell that you are not the same. 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. 1 John 3, 9 to 10 says, whosoever is born of God does not continue to sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. The difference between the children of God and the children of the devil is shown by the fruit they bear. That is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. By their fruit you shall know them. What fruit is he talking about here? Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Listen to the word of God. So sweet. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. You go a little above the same verse, from verse 19, and you see the characteristics of somebody who has fallen spiritually. When somebody has lost the friendship of the Holy Spirit, how does he behave? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So these were the things that King Saul was attributing. These were the things that he was showing, because the Spirit of God had left him. Now, when you come down, the fruit of the Spirit is of a different kind altogether. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering. You become a wonderful guy. And then the Holy Spirit endows you with spiritual gifts with which to minister to others. Now, God says, I'm going to give you some gifts so you can share with other people. 1 Peter 4:10. God begins to give you gifts. Romans chapter 12. The whole chapter tells you the kind of gifts God can give you. You can be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. You can be a teacher. You can be a pastor. You can be a preacher. He gives all kinds of wonderful gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 30. God gives you all kinds of spirits so you can tell others about your experience with Jesus Christ. There is a testimony of people about your changed life. In Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, when they were looking for deacons, they were able to identify Stephen and Philip and the others. By the way they were behaving, by their outward attitude, people could tell that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I have to read to you Acts chapter 6 and listen to the testimony they bore about Philip and Stephen and those other deacons. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Listen here. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They could tell that of all the thousands of church members, you remember on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized, but they were able to identify these seven deacons, that they had a unique characteristics. That is what happens. People can tell the change in your life. The spirit of sacrifice fills your heart. You are willing to sacrifice for the betterment of others. You don't become selfish. The mind of Christ becomes your mind. That is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. He said, let this mind be in you. The mind of Christ be in you. Isn't that wonderful? So, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? This is a very important part of our series. How can I be filled? How can the Spirit of God be in me? What shall I do? Listen to Ellen G. White in Testimonies, Volume 1. Page 158. It's a wonderful book. If you lay hands on it, read it. I saw how His grace, the Holy Spirit, could be obtained. Go to your closet. You remember, when we were talking about prayer, Jesus said what? Go to your closet and shut your door. And alone, plead with God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Be honest. Be sincere. Fervent prayer availeth not. Jacob-like, wrestle in prayer. Agonize. Make an effort. Do not leave your closet until you feel strong in God. And just as long as you watch and pray, you can keep evil besetment under, and the grace, the Holy Spirit of God, will appear in you. Isn't that wonderful? He says, go to your closet. So we don't pray for Holy Spirit in public. that people will come and say, we are praying for you to receive Holy Spirit. No, it's something personal. It's not something somebody passes on to you. It's you and God. You go to him and say, create in me a new heart. I want to be baptized. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And he says, as you are doing that, as you are wrestling with God, confessing your sins, God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you will become such a wonderful person. Now, you see that little boy praying with his dog. How I wish all parents would train their children to love God so much that in the morning, this boy wouldn't go to school until he has prayed, even with his dog by his side. Look at how the dog, even the dog has been trained. Human beings are talking about human rights, lesbianism and homosexuality. When a dog has even the sense to praise God, to worship God and to pray to God, human beings are behaving not even like a dog, because a dog would never sleep with his sister or his brother. May God have mercy upon us.
That was a sermon on the topic, New Birth Experience, by Pastor Dr. Andrews L. Ewu. The continuation will be brought to you next time.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on 233-2087-04532 or 0244-235-017 or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.